The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, it's the Thursday. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. And it's another sad day in America. I do this show every day. I've been doing it online, my show, for, at least 10 years. Let's see. I was let go. Air America went off the air on January 21st, 2010. So it was that very evening that I flipped on the YouTube and just started doing the show over the internet instead of on Air America, and I've been doing it this way ever since. So we're coming up on 8 years, and I don't know. I have no idea what the future holds now that net neutrality has been gutted. The FCC earlier today voted by a vote of 3-2 along party lines to gut the 2015 Obama-era net neutrality rules. One of the commissioners, there are two Democrats and three Republicans on the commission. It's whichever party is in charge gets the extra seat. One of the Democrats is Mignon Clyburn. She's the daughter of Congressman Clyburn. And she has been one of the people, one of the loudest voices leading the charge to retain the net neutrality rules. She had a few choice words to say before the vote happened.
But the saddest part to me about all of this, and it's painful for me to say this, that this is the new norm at the FCC, a norm where the majority ignores the will of the people, a norm where the majority stands idly by while the people that they are committed to serve, that they've taken an oath to serve, are about to lose so much. Now, we have heard story after story about what net neutrality means to consumers and small businesses, from places as diverse as Los Angeles Skid Row to Marietta, Ohio. I have here letters that just were sent to me that plead with the FCC to keep our net neutrality rules in place. But what is striking and in keeping with the new norm is that despite the millions of comments, letters, and calls received, this order cites not even one. That speaks volumes about the direction the current majority is heading, this FCC is heading, and that speaks volumes about just who is being heard at the FCC.
She spoke a lot more on that, and if time permits, we'll get a little more in later. She is going to be doing a Twitter town hall of sorts on Tuesday afternoon, so people can send her questions, and she'll do her best to answer. The fight has just begun, though, people. Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts already filed legislation. I know all of the groups that have been fighting for net neutrality all along have filed lawsuits, from the ACLU to the Electronic Freedom Foundation, a lot of groups. So we'll see what happens. The other Democratic commissioner tweeted, "Let's remember the FCC voted to roll back net neutrality on the basis of a record with 2 million comments from stolen identities and 500,000 comments from Russia. That's not right. We need to investigate and get to the bottom of this. So the fight is far from over. It is a major setback, though. Somebody on Twitter asked me if a new Democratic administration can overturn this. Well, it wouldn't be an administration because the president doesn't make laws. Congress can do it. Congress can do it with legislation, but we need a Democratic Congress in order to get there. Today is also the fifth anniversary of the Newtown shootings, and I don't even know what to say about that other than seeing the faces of those babies on the television again just brought back the feeling of that gut punch that we all had on that day and for weeks and months afterwards, and yet nothing has been done to preclude something like this from happening again. It's truly just reprehensible that not one piece of legislation has been passed to ensure that something like this will never happen again. It's the way, this is what happens when we let Republicans run the country. This is what happens when we don't vote. And this is what happens when, I hate the saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, when we let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Because at this point, we need to get them out of power. Then we work on changing the Democratic Party from within. I think it's our only way, our only hope for right now, anyway, for the immediate future. What else? There's still, you know, I want to go to the phones because on the phone now is listener Al, known to our chat room as Proud Skell, who lives in Alabama, who I know went out and volunteered for Doug Jones. And hey there, Proud Skell.
Yes, Nicole, it has been fun. And first of all, I think Doug Jones can count his success because early on, we at the campaign started focusing on African-American voters.
Mm-hmm.
And we called them quite a bit in our phone banks. Also, I canvassed in an African-American neighborhood here. And I realized younger voters, believe it or not, here tend to vote more progressive.
Sure.
And they are starting to be energized, particularly around here in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the rest of the state.
Well, it's everywhere around the country, Al, everywhere. The millennials
I know that too.
Yep. So that's a good thing.
But last night, the majority of the evening, actually more was ahead when I was watching election night with the tallies. And I was starting to get a little bit pessimistic, but I realized a generally red county near me, Pickens County, which is right on the Mississippi line, had come in for Jones.
Wow.
And I was just saying, something is going to happen here. And it did.
Yeah.
It did.
So what's the mood like there? What's the mood like in Alabama
today? I think it is a landmark election. I think he has chipped away at the Republican Party. You know, this was just not Roy Moore. The Republican Party here in the state has been going downhill for a while with the Robert Bentley scandal,
mm-hmm.
with him and his aide, which led to his downfall. And also there was one or two House speakers, not House speakers, but House members that got caught in scandals in the last 2 years. So I think they were going to go down a bit anyway. But this drives them just a bit further. Also, of all people, I think Charles Barkley hit the nail on the head when he was at Jones's victory rally, and he said that Jones can't keep the black vote for granted.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody, you know what? And that's a good bit of advice for the Democrats around the country. We can't take any vote for granted, but the black vote for sure. I know that I was reading an article somewhere about, and I did it yesterday. I thanked the black women because they're the ones, they came out at something like 98%.
Oh, yes.
African-American women's voted for Jones. And some people were a little miffed, I think, that we're singling them out. It's a good thing. I think the gratitude is long overdue. And look, with the new voter ID laws, I know it was an uphill climb for a lot of people to get the proper ID and to get out there and vote. And especially, you know, with the lack of poll workers at polling places in what they call the Black Belt. We owe a lot of people a good deal of thanks. Anyway, Al, I got to run because I got to get the news in and I got to get talk radio news on. So thank you for calling. And let's check in with what's news and then talk radio news and then Howie Klein. It's a busy Thursday on the Nicole Sandler Show.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On Wednesday, members of the House Judiciary Committee grilled the number two guy at the Justice Department, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who pushed back on Republican accusations that the Mueller probe into Russian meddling in last year's election is infected with partisan bias and defended Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
Have you seen good cause to fire Special Counsel Mueller?
No.
Thank you. If you were ordered today to fire Mr. Mueller, what would you do?
So I've explained previously, I would follow the regulation. If there were good cause, I would act. If there were no good cause, I would not.
That was Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein on Capitol Hill today defending Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his Russia investigation. Republicans, as we've reported here, are attempting to discredit Mueller with renewed vigor this week in light of new information about an FBI agent who was removed from the overall Mueller team. The DOJ made the rare decision to release about 90 pages of anti-Trump, pro-Clinton text messages sent between that agent and his girlfriend. She also worked for the FBI at the time. Today, Rosenstein stood by the integrity of the Department of Justice.
How, with a straight face, can you say that this group of Democrat partisans are unbiased and will give President Trump a fair shake?
Congressman, I think it's important to recognize that when we talk about political affiliation, that all demonstrates political affiliation. The issue of bias is something different. I've discussed this with Director Mueller, and he and I collectively have a lot of experience managing offices in the Department of Justice. We recognize we have employees with political opinions, and it's our responsibility to make sure those opinions do not influence their actions.
The New York Times reporting this today, quote, "Democrats say the pattern is becoming clear. As Mr. Mueller moves closer to Mr. Trump's inner circle, Republicans try to discredit federal law enforcement and undercut the eventual findings of the special counsel. The Republican effort may also be intended to blunt the political repercussions should Mr. Mueller be fired."
Republicans on Wednesday announced that they had reached an agreement in principle to move forward on their tax plan, reconciling the House and Senate bills into one that could be voted on as soon as next week. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and other Democrats have called upon Republicans to delay the vote until Alabama Senator-elect Doug Jones is seated.
Today, we Senate Democrats are calling on Mitch McConnell to hit pause on his tax bill and not hold a final vote until Doug Jones is sworn into the Senate. The governor didn't appoint him. He won an election. It would be wrong for Senate Republicans to jam through this tax bill without giving the newly elected senator from Alabama the opportunity to cast his vote. Now, that's exactly what Republicans argued when Scott Brown was elected in 2010. Referring to health care, listen to what Leader McConnell said. What we ought to do, his quote, as we said repeatedly throughout the month of December, as you know, we were here every day, we ought to stop and start over and go step by step to concentrate on fixing the problem. He said of the election, the one of Scott Brown, "I think the majority has gotten the message, and no more gamesmanship, no more lack of transparency." What did Leader Reid do when Scott Brown was elected? He said, "We're going to wait until the new senator arrives until we do anything more on the health care bill," which was then pending. McConnell ought to do what he said ought to be done in 2010, and what Reid did in 2010, delay, till Doug Jones gets here and can cast a vote.
In 2010, Republican demands that any further votes on the Affordable Care Act be held up to accommodate then newly elected Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts were met by the Democrats. The Walt Disney Company has agreed to purchase major parts of 21st Century Fox in a $52.4 billion deal, with Disney getting the 20th Century Fox movie and TV studios and lots more. But the deal does not include Murdoch's News Corp properties, such as Fox News, Fox Sports, and The Wall Street Journal. Thursday is the day that the FCC is voting on repealing the Obama-era net neutrality rules, but 19 state attorneys general are asking that the vote be delayed.
Federal Communications Commission is expected to repeal net neutrality, an important rule put in place by the Obama administration to ban internet service providers from basically controlling what you see on the internet and what internet-based services you can use. That would be the practical effect if service providers are allowed to pick and choose which traffic goes fast and which traffic goes slow online for their own commercial purposes. But now, in the final hours before that vote, a group of state attorneys general has asked the FCC to not take that vote, to delay it. Because according to an analysis from the New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, there have been as many as 2 million public comments submitted to the FCC about this decision under stolen identities. This all happened during the FCC's public comment period. Real people whose names were used to post these comments have been objecting, but it really happened on a very large scale. The 19 state attorneys general who are pushing for a delay say the comment faking is an attack on the integrity of the democratic process. They say any decision the FCC makes on the basis, even the partial basis, of these fake comments would be an illegitimate decision. As of now, the FCC is still scheduled to take this vote. If they do, expect it to be the subject of a lot of lawsuits immediately.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. And for a bit more of what's news, we turn to our friends at the Talk Media News Service. They're at TalkMediaNews.com. And Doug Christian is back with us. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Nicole?
Doing okay, except for the news about the net neutrality vote. But I guess 19 state attorneys general bringing, writing a letter and saying don't hold this vote yet. There's too many discrepancies with the comments. Didn't do anything. But now there are lawsuits that are being filed.
Quite a few lawsuits. Yes, one more added. So there were 18 state attorneys general before. Now there are 19. And I mean, yes, it is very clear that that there was something that went awry in the whole way that the FCC accepted comments or didn't accept comments that they didn't like, and then perhaps forged comments that they did want.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very shady deal all around.
Yep. All right.
And yeah. And Ajit Pin, I mean, Ajit Pai, I mean, what is he? He's just a shill for these companies, for Verizon and AT&T. There was a reason why the Obama administration pushed for net neutrality. It was to protect people, individuals, so they could actually have full access to the internet. And ironically enough, the people who are going to be most hurt by this are typically the Trump voter, mostly in rural communities. So it's particularly ironic in that sense.
This will hurt people in rural communities hard. It's going to hurt all of us. Look, this is what I do for a living. I do a show that is 100% online. So anything can happen. I'm just, you know, I'll keep doing what I do and hope that people can keep watching or listening to this show, however they choose to ingest it. But I'll soon have no control over any of that.
It's very scary. It's shocking, and there's no reason to believe that Verizon or AT&T or Comcast is going to refrain from exerting control, basically to blackmail people into paying more for their services so that they could actually access at correct rate,
right?
Certain websites,
yep.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's going to be, so if you want to use YouTube, it's going to cost you this much more a month. If you want, like, using social media, here's your social media package. It'll cost you this much. If you want to stream movies like Netflix and Hulu, it'll cost you this much more. That's all coming down the pike. The only hope we have is that the courts intervene, but with the way Trump is stacking the courts, I don't know that we're going to get much relief in that venue either.
No, it's a dire moment, and I hope that somewhere that the courts do intervene, and of course this is yet another reminder as to why Democrats need to vote vigorously in 2018, perhaps to overturn this rule.
That's right,
and
because Congress can you know make a law. So that's what it comes down to. But a Republican-led Congress is just going to this is more of what we're going to get.
Well, and the Republicans are beginning to feel this already. I mean, we saw this vigorous pushback with the Doug Jones victory over Roy Moore in Alabama, which was surprising to most observers. In a deep, deep red state such as Alabama. But at the same time, it's also an indication, as it was in Virginia, as well as in New Jersey, that there are consequences for putting together such unpopular legislation, such as getting rid of net neutrality or cutting taxes for the very wealthy and for corporations at the expense of the middle class and poorer people in this country.
Which is what they're working on right now. So the word is that the two sides, the House and the Senate Republicans, have come to an agreement of sorts on their tax plan. But today we're seeing some chinks in the armor where I know you mentioned that Marco Rubio has said he'll vote against it unless the tax credit for, I think it's a child tax credit is enlarged. You know, I live in Florida and I don't trust Marco Rubio for a moment, but at least he's making noise. So that's something.
Well, and I think what you've got to, right, Nicole, is that what he's really looking for is he's looking for a way out because he realizes that the electorate is not happy with this road. So his excuses for the child tax credit. It could have been for anything, but he's looking at the electorate and he's saying, my gosh, this is going to be hung around my neck like an albatross. And I have to figure a way out of this.
I don't think so. I think he's going to be a yes vote in the end, regardless of what happens. I just think Marco Rubio likes to get his name out there, and create some drama.
You're from Florida.
Yes,
you know.
I am. I've known of Marco Rubio for a long time. He's been playing these games for years. You know, it's Ron Johnson. Remember, for the longest time, Ron Johnson was a no on the Senate bill until he wasn't. I think Marco Rubio is the same thing. I wouldn't put too much credence in it, sadly. I hope you're right. I really hope I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, again, I've been proven wrong so many times over the past year in terms of the election of Donald Trump. I didn't think that was going to happen, although I had many friends and pundits who said, oh, no, he'll win this over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that this time I'm right on this one, because it will be a terrible price to pay for most people in this country if this tax plan goes through. And of course, as you've seen, I'm right now sitting in the Rayburn Building at Capitol Hill, and across over the northern side of the Capitol, there was the chance of on the Senate side saying no Jones, no vote.
Right.
To allow Mitch McConnell to allow Jones to take his rightfully earned seat on the Senate. And of course, Mitch McConnell is a wily figure who has who has, as we know from the Neil Gorsuch episode, and will do anything to get his way.
Yeah. I mean, Mitch McConnell stole the Supreme Court seat from Barack Obama. The seat that should have been Merrick Garland's is now inhabited by Neil Gorsuch. And, you know, Mitch McConnell was one of those who demanded that Scott Brown be seated in 2010 before the next vote on the Affordable Care Act could be taken. And the Democrats gave in. It may make us the Democrats, you know, more honorable, but it doesn't help. Doesn't help in the long run.
No, it doesn't. I mean, the only thing I can think, though, is that there has been polling that's been coming out that younger Republicans are not too happy about these tactics, whereas the older ones, you know, kind of accept it as okay. The younger ones do not appreciate the fact that Donald Trump's has so many allegations of misconduct against him, that Mitch McConnell has these kind of has utilized these kind of tactics over and over again on so many different pieces. These kind of tactics, yeah, they're clever. They can work for a Supreme Court justice once, but it is not a way to keep a coalition of people who actually believe in a cause together over the long haul, because it's corrupt.
Right.
It's actually corrupt.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And of course, right now we're seeing the GOP, they're looking, at, especially on the House side, they're looking at the progress that Robert Mueller's team has made in its investigation. And instead of letting the investigation take its course, instead they're looking for ways to prepare to have him ousted.
Yeah, if anybody watched yesterday the House Judiciary Oversight hearing on with Rod Rosenstein, the deputy AG, it was apparent that they're looking to give Trump cover to fire Mueller.
That's exactly right. It's terrible. I mean, what they in essence they were arguing. Oh, he is corrupt, and therefore he should be fired. It was circular logic. It had no sense to it. And then they said, well, certain FBI agents have political leanings. Well, of course, they're humans. Why
yes.
wouldn't they have political leanings?
Many of
Does
them are Democrats, and many of them are Republicans. Probably many more are Republicans than are Democrats.
Exactly. So it's almost a crime to be a Democrat? Is that what they're saying? The idea is sophistic or absurd on so many different levels, and tragic too. That they would actually lend their name to such a facetious argument. Terrible. And but I thought Rod Rosenstein held his ground admirably.
He really did.
And said no.
Yep.
Yeah. And kept his cool and didn't budge, just said, nope, that's not the way it's going to be. And I do believe, I mean, it's a belief, it's not an absolute firm thing, but I do believe that that Donald Trump has been warned. And I actually know that he's been warned, that if he seeks to have Mueller fired, there will be heavy price to pay.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to care about those things, though. We'll see what happens. I just hope he doesn't go there.
I do, too. Although I will say this, and that is that the Doug Jones victory over Roy Moore does diminish the president's kind of capital, his stock. I mean, one of the things that has kind of kept Republican congressmen in line, congressmen and women in line, is they fear the president's clout. Well, he doesn't seem to have much clout
no.
these days.
Yep.
He had been he has chosen the losing horse in these races over and over again. And I think people are beginning to realize, wait a minute, you know, he is not as invincible as we thought.
Let's hope.
And I think that is because this town is actually a place where people cow to power. And if they see the power waning, they actually begin to say, oh, okay, you're done. You know, I'll go elsewhere.
Well, we'll see what happens. One of the telling things was in the exit polls from Alabama, it showed Trump's job approval rating was 48 and disapproval was 48. And the fact that in one of the reddest states in the country, he's not even breaking 50%, that doesn't bode too well for Donald Trump. So that's a trend that I hope continues. Anyway, Doug Christian from the Talk Media News Service at talkmedianews.com. Thank you so much, Doug.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Nicole.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You bet.
All right. It is Thursday. That means Howie Klein will be with us in just a moment. So stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well, then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Yes, every Thursday we get together with Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny and the Blue America PAC to talk about politics and what's going on. Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. I am so excited right now. You cannot believe it. I'm like quivering with excitement.
Really? Good. I could use something to get excited about. What are we excited
about?
About
this, all right. So when something really, really exciting happens, I can't get off. I can't think about anything else. I can't do my work. I can't do anything. So usually, you know, that's like an election comes in and,
right,
you know, it's like wonderful and I get like crazy and I can't think about it in my other work and I can't do anything.
Like
and
that, Tuesday
and something
night.
Like that just happened. Sorry?
Like Tuesday night. Tuesday night was pretty good.
Tuesday night was that, but I wasn't even going there.
Okay.
You may not be aware of this because you've been on the radio, but Paul Ryan is about to retire. Now, I've been saying this for a while. I don't know if I said it on your show or not, but I said this guy is never going to allow himself to be defeated by a construction worker,
mm-hmm,
and he would leave before that happened. And the internal polling from both camps is so clear that Ryan can't win re-election that he finally let the cat out of the bag. I mean, he's been planning this for a while, like, you know, passing that horrible tax bill, which sets in motion the destruction of the social safety net, which has been his lifelong dream. And once that would happen, he just didn't want to stick around to face the consequences. So he won't be running again. And Politico finally, broke the news, even though I've been writing about it for 2 months.
Right.
Politico finally broke the news. So
right.
I'm excited about that because Randy Bryce is going to be a member of Congress.
Well, that's awesome. Now, I read the Politico article, and what it was saying, though, is that Ryan would stay in through the 2018 elections and then retire after that. I guess they're they're believing that he'll lose the election because if he won.
No. He's not going to run again. Oh. He's not going to resign. Uh-huh. The way some of the people are who were caught with their pants down.
Right.
He's just going to retire at the end of the term. Probably. I mean, I read it as him not running again.
I see.
I mean, I wish he would run again because his favorable numbers in the in most of the seats that we're contesting are so low. I mean, I was looking at the numbers district by district. Where they've been polling, what people think about Paul Ryan. So unfavorable, favorable, or favorable, unfavorable. And the numbers are literally astounding. I've never seen it before. I mean, he is so less popular than Trump. I mean, in district after district where Blue America has candidates, his favorable ratings are 20% to 25%. Everybody else hates him.
Wow.
So he's a real anchor around the necks of all these Republican incumbents who are basically a bunch of rubber stamps for all of his crazy agenda. And him being the face of the Republican Party, if the Democrats would ever figure out how to do that the way the Republicans do it to Nancy Pelosi, is just a tremendous detriment to Republicans. So anyway, that said, I know we wanted to talk about Alabama.
Which was great news as well.
Of course it's great news. It's all tied together, believe me. But, people who say that the reason that Alabama had this gigantic swing. Now, let's leave aside for a second the fact that Doug Jones won.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that was not that many votes. But what was gigantic there was the swing from what Alabama has done in previous elections, like take the last presidential election where Hillary did so terribly compared to Trump, and then look at the swing, which is almost 30 points. So what I did is, as I looked at the district that's the most sort of like the rest of America, and that's the 6th district. So the 6th district in Alabama is basically suburban Birmingham, and it's the richest district in the state. And when I say rich in Alabama, that means the medium income is around $57,000. So
wow.
It's not like a wealthy district, but compared to some of the districts where the medium income is $20,000, this is a rich district.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a suburban district. It's a middle class district. It's an educated district. It's not like an Appalachian district. They have one of those too in that state, the 4th district, which is, no one has any teeth, and it's a real hellhole. That's the most Republican district, and there are virtually no African Americans in that district. The 6th is a more sort of normal American district. It's very much like the rest of the country, and it's very, very red though. It's a very red district, but demographically, it's like America. You look at it, and it's USA, and the swing in that district was a little over 20%. So, in other words, from Hillary Clinton to Doug Jones, the Democratic vote increased by 20%. So that's a huge jump. So what I decided to do is to just say, well, imagine, leave every other factor aside, like how good the candidates are, what the issues are. Just leave everything else aside except for this number. It was just a little game I played because it's not realistic.
Uh-huh.
But I applied that percentage to all the districts in America, all the congressional districts in America. The Republicans would be left with about something between 50 and 65 seats in the House. It would be the smallest number for the opposition party to have ever had that I could find. And every Republican that you've ever heard of would be wiped off the map. You'd be left with, I shouldn't say that you've ever heard of, because some people know some of the crazies.
Right.
So no one would be left but mostly the crazies. Like Louis Gohmert would get to keep his seat.
Oh,
but very, very, very few Republicans who are part of the conversation will still be in Congress. They'll be gone, all of them. And all we need to do is to just recreate what happened in Alabama's, not even the whole state. The whole state, the swing was even higher. But I'm just talking about just this one very, very typical district, the most typical district in the state of Alabama to the rest of America. Just recreate that, and there's no more, then virtually the Republican party in Congress is then just a rump party with nothing, you know, no input, nothing to say, nothing to do. All their leaders gone. Everything just completely, utterly decimated. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
That would be amazing. I mean, I'm looking at a post you have up at Down with Tyranny, the one about what does the Alabama election tell us about the midterms. And you took the 16 House candidates that have been endorsed so far by Blue America in districts that are now held by Republicans. And in each one, you say how much the Blue America endorsed candidate would win by. Like in California's 49th, you have Doug Applegate would beat Daryl Issa with 69%. Randy Bryce would beat Paul Ryan in Wisconsin with just over 50%. And the list goes on. And as I'm reading this, a big smile spread across my face, which it doesn't happen too often these days.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I don't – I mean, these are just – I mean, that was a little game I was playing. It was
right.
Like a little, just a little fun exercise. But
right.
All of these kinds of things point to the fact that there is just a gigantic tsunami coming. Like what I started saying when I went off on that tangent was don't let anybody tell you that, the election is is 11 months away and a lot can change. Well, yes, that's true. A lot can change, but there's no reason to believe it's going to change in favor of Trump and the Republicans.
Right.
And there's every reason to believe, and literally every reason to believe, that it's going to get worse for the Republicans. All of the mainstream media keep saying, well, it's not going to be this bad because there's a lot that can happen. It's going to change. But they're wrong. They're looking at it from the wrong perspective. The change is going to be worse for them, not better for them. This wave is building, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's going to continue to get bigger. So, you know, when they say, well, you know, it's not going to be this bad because things are going to change, well, they're wrong. It's going to be worse because things are going to change. Worse for them, better for
America.
Yeah,
they passed this tax bill, and people realize what's in it. It's horrific. And now,
how about
net neutrality? Net neutrality. That just happened today. And this is going to hurt Trump voters.
This is going to hurt every normal American is going to be affected by this, or their kids are going to be affected,
mm-hmm.
or their parents are going to be affected. Everyone gets affected by this. This is a very, very big deal. And this is going to, the tax bill, they have it worked out. So, all of the anything that's remotely good is front loaded, and all the
right.
really bad stuff, almost all the really bad stuff is back loaded. So a lot of the really bad stuff from the tax bill won't come into play for some time now, years.
Yeah,
so,
not that many years, though. I mean, first they were talking about the individual, just regular people, not the billionaires, that the tax cuts that average middle class people would get would expire in 2025. Well, now, because they lowered the tax rate for the top 1% again from 39.6 down to 37%, they needed to find those savings. So they're talking about making the tax breaks for middle class go away a year earlier in 2024 instead. It's still far enough off that people won't feel it immediately, which is a shame.
Right. Well, they won't feel it in time for the elections,
right.
which is what they're concerned about. I mean,
yep.
obviously, Ryan and his crew were worried about 2018, and Trump is worried about 2020.
Right.
And that's all that they're not looking beyond that. But on the other hand, net neutrality, once that kicks in, everyone is going to feel that, and they're going to feel it fast, hopefully feel it enough to make a difference when it comes to voting. So net neutrality, not only do normal people want to keep net neutrality, but even Republicans want to keep net neutrality, Republican voters. So if they start feeling their internet slowing down when they go to their favorite crazy sites, they're going to react to that. And will they vote on it? Is it enough of an issue to make them, to be a motivator to not vote for the candidates who are supporting this idea? Now, the thing is, again, with Paul Ryan, let's go back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So this was done by the Federal Communications Commission.
Right.
A former Verizon lobbyist who's the head
mm-hmm.
of it. He pushed this through. And Trump is perfectly happy with it. But there's no vote in Congress.
But there should be a vote in Congress, because ultimately this is, it is Congress who can decide whether or not there should be net neutrality, which would mean how about Ryan letting Congress vote on it? But he won't. So that's the case that Democrats need to hammer home, that Ryan will not allow a vote on net neutrality to save net neutrality. And, you know, and Ryan doesn't act alone on this, these kinds of things. It's not just Paul Ryan. He's the ringleader, but it's the whole lot of them. It's the Republicans in Congress who are not stepping up. Now, a few Republicans have said, hey, this is screwy. We have to fix this. But Ryan won't allow it. And Ryan and his committee chairs and his leadership team, they are saying, you know, hey, this is good for us. Now, if you go and check to see who got the most money from these telecoms, who's collecting the millions of dollars that they put in, you know, they call it political contributions. I call it bribes.
Sure.
And, you know, I looked at Ryan just last year. Ryan took in $500,000
wow.
from these people who are going to benefit by this. These companies, I should say, not people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these big telecoms are giving Ryan money hand over fist. Not just Ryan, but all of these Republican leaders. And they're the ones that are letting this happen. And this is a direct, at best, inconvenience on a daily basis to people, to their own constituents. And they don't care. They don't care about their own constituents. They just care. They just want to make sure that money keeps flowing in.
It is amazing. And the money is so that they can keep their jobs. I mean, it's...
Of course. And their lifestyle that goes
right.
along with that job, and just build themselves up until their real dream can be realized, which is becoming a lobbyist on K Street.
Let me ask you this, Howie. It's kind of off topic, but I can't think of a better person to ask. Most members of talk about the House of Representatives. Their salary is somewhere around $172,000 a year, give or take. How are they all multimillionaires? How is Blake Farenthold what's his name, Trent Franks? How is he able to offer one of his staffers $5 million to carry a child for him? How did they get so rich?
The two that you named were rich earlier.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, so they came into Congress already rich. But the question is just as valid. It's just those two examples aren't just happen to not be the right examples. However, the question, and it's not just Republicans, by the way,
nope.
but there are an inordinate number of congressmen who go into Congress poor and come out of Congress very, very rich. And what have they done in the interim? And that's, and you know, and some of them have committed crimes. So undoubtedly, some of them have committed crimes. And a crime, you know, for example, this guy in near Buffalo, New York, Chris Collins, who was the first member of Congress to endorse Donald Trump.
Oh.
He should be in jail, and hopefully he will be in jail. What he did was he something clearly illegal. He was taking inside information. In other words, the stuff he was finding out in committees and action that Congress was going to take, and he was buying and selling stocks on that. Tom Price, who was forced to resign from Trump's cabinet, the health secretary, he had been a member of Congress for years and years and years, and he was, you know, a big player on health policy, and based on what he was finding out in Congress, he was buying and selling stocks. And both of these guys, in fact, in the same... from the same company, I think it was an Australian company, were given the opportunity to buy stock at a sweetheart deal before the public could get it based on their own votes in Congress. That's so illegal. I mean, it's so illegal that even the Trump administration had to get rid of Tom Price over this stuff. And I believe that eventually, once it starts, it winds its way through all the places it has to wind its way through, that Chris Collins is going to wind up going in prison or making some kind of a plea deal and leaving Congress. And there are a number of people like this who do this kind of thing. You know, there have been more and more opportunities that these congressmen create for themselves to become wealthy personally. You know, in the old days, for example, if you raised a lot of money from contributions – And then for whatever reason, you retired, you were defeated, whatever. That was the end of the money. You couldn't. There was no way to spend that money on yourself. You could spend it politically, but you couldn't spend it on yourself. Well, now that's very, very changed. Now you can hire your son, your wife, your cousin, to administer that money and pay them huge, huge salaries. And I mean really huge salaries. So now when these congressmen think about getting these contributions from a big corporation, they know up the road that money could be very well going into their family budget.
Wow.
So there are a lot of ways that these people have rigged the system and changed the rules for themselves. And when you look and you see who are the ones who came to Congress poor and then leave poor, there are fewer and fewer of them. There are some. There are literally members of Congress, I've talked to them, who have refused to avail themselves of the opportunities. And, you know, they may feel like suckers because everybody around them is doing it.
Right.
But these people are out to serve themselves and to fill their own pockets, to enrich themselves, to enrich people who will then subsequently help them to become rich, to enrich family members. And it's just absolutely shameful. And you know, yes, the Republicans are worse. Absolutely. There's no denying that. But the Democrats, look at Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I followed her career since she was on the city council in San Francisco and then the mayor. And all along the way, she was always doing stuff and has continued to do stuff to enrich her family, to put favorable contracts in her husband's hands that he didn't merit, and that just anything she could do to trade her vote and her influence and her power to enrich herself, she's now one of the richest people who's ever served in the United States Congress. This is the senator from California, a conservative Democrat, Dianne Feinstein. I mean, this is disgusting. And let me just reiterate for anyone who might have just tuned in while I was saying that, the Republicans are worse.
Right.
But that doesn't let the Democrats off the hook either.
No. No. Well, these are things we need to know. I was under the impression that insider trading in Congress was legal, that there are some kind of loopholes that allow them to do it because it's so widespread.
No, it is very widespread. It's actually not legal. It's two things. Congress has its own rules against it, which goes to FX committee, and then it's illegal. In terms of criminality, I mean, you get caught if it's clear enough, and you can get caught doing that. You can go to prison. Generally speaking, when someone is a congressman, the feeling in the justice system is that it's enough of a punishment unless they've done something really, really heinous. It's enough of a punishment that they just lose their seat and they retire, they resign, whatever, and then they sort of let them off. There aren't that many cases where they actually put them in jail, but there are cases. There's absolutely cases where they put them in jail, and there are congressmen serving in jail now or have recently served in jail. One of the funniest ones is Michael Grimm, Mikey Suits,
sure,
a mafia guy. Now, this guy, if they prosecuted him for everything that he's been guilty of, he would be in prison for life. He literally would be in prison for the rest of his life. He's a mafia criminal who has a long career, long before he got to Congress, of doing illegal things. He worked at the FBI and for the mafia at the same time. He was going back and forth between the two, and no one ever knew for sure which side he was really on. Each side thought he was spying on the other one. But which side was he really spying on? But meanwhile, while he was doing that, he was committing all kinds of crimes. But he has alluded many, many times to the fact that he's got the goods on higher ups in the FBI. He often, you know, mentions that in passing, and they let him off very, very, very lightly. He had 7 month or 11 month term.
Yeah,
they're
now
really,
he's running really for Congress again.
And now he's trying to get back into his old seat. And I don't know that can happen or not, because the person who's got his seat now is a kind of a mainstreamish Republican. He's not good by any means, but he's not a wacko. Now, ironically, Mikey Suits, when he was in voting in Congress, he had a relatively mainstream voting record. He was a criminal. He was a horrible person. He was unethical, and he was corrupt. But his voting record for a Republican was relatively decent, very, very similar to the guy who's got the seat now. But yet now he's running as a Bannon candidate, a Trump Bannon candidate. And he's, you know, the way he talks, you would think he was the most far right lunatic on the face of the earth. And he well may be, and probably will be if he ever got back in. But that's not his voting record. He was, you know, if there were any time there were 10, 12, 15 Republicans who went against leadership and voted with the Democrats on some issue that really, really screwed their constituents over, Grimm would usually be in that group. And now he's running against that whole concept because his opponent, the Republican opponent, is one of those people who votes with the Democrats on occasion. Not often, but on occasion, the same way that Grimm did. Anyway, my favorite quote this week was from another Republican from Long Island, not Staten Island, nearby, and very similar in every other way, Peter King on Long Island. So Peter King was describing so hilariously Bannon, saying he's some kind of a crazy drunk that came running into Alabama. What was he doing? He's ruining the whole government. It was so funny. I was like, I had to laugh out loud when I saw it on TV.
You know, I wanted to ask you about guaranteed jobs, but we've only got about 3 minutes left, so I don't know that that's enough time to get into it.
Right. I don't know if it is either. Let me start a little bit, and maybe we can get a real expert on this. Like, I should probably get Stephanie
Kelton, who's been on the show with me before a few times. So.
Had her before, great.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, she's certainly the person to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of our candidates are starting to get into it as well. But, you know, the thing that people have to start keeping in mind is that there's a lot of push for universal minimum income, that
right.
whole idea. And that's a trap. That's a libertarian trap that the Silicon Valley folks are pushing. And what they want to do with that, again, is, you know, get rid of anything that's left of the social welfare system, and, you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, just get rid of all of it, and instead everybody would be guaranteed a minimum income. Well, how long would that last?
Right.
You know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 mm-hmm. years, eventually it's not going to last. Whereas the idea of job guarantee, that was a New Deal idea that unfortunately never went all the way. They started experimenting with it. That's what the WPA was.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an idea that's come that deserves to be taken up again. I think its time is now. And there are quite a few candidates. A lot of the Blue America candidates are espousing that and running on it. I was just talking with one of the guy who's running in Indiana's 9th district, Dan Cannon, and that's one of the issues that he's campaigning on. It's right. He's got it right on his website. And you know, a lot of people hear that and they get nervous, and you know, what does that mean, and how much is that going to cost? And as it turns out, it's not going to cost. It's going to save. It's just something that voters have to get used to and have to start to understand.
Right, and the idea that if you need a job, you're going to be able to get a job, it would solve a lot of problems.
Yes, it would solve all of the problems. Not all of the problems. There's still problems. But that's a really big deal, and you know, Stephanie Kelton, Bernie hired her when he was running the budget committee.
Mm-hmm.
He hired her as his chief economist, and she's been helping him with his campaigning as well. I can tell you that I'm pretty sure if Bernie runs for president again, which I'm quite sure he's going to, she'll be his main economic advisor, or one of his main economic
uh-huh.
advisors. So she's really the person who we should bring on to discuss this. She's real good at it. She has been a gem to me, helping me to understand it, and talking with our candidates and helping them to understand it as well. You know, some of the candidates are, you know, some of them have told me. I was just talking to one today. He was saying, yeah, he's been on this since he was in graduate school.
Right.
But others don't know as much about it. And, you know, she's on the phone talking with them about the ins and outs and helping them to answer the arguments that people give, and, you know, batting down this whole ridiculous concept, for example, of balanced budgets. I mean, a balanced budget means one thing. that there's nothing big that can happen and there's no progressive agenda. So when Pete Peterson is talking about balanced budgets, that's what he means. And then when the Republicans get in power, they don't care. There is no balanced budget with them anyway.
Right. Howie Klein, you've got a great piece about it up at Down with Tyranny, which I will post on my blog at NicoleSandler.com along with today's podcast. As always, our time flies by when we speak, so we are out of time. Howie Klein, find him at DownWithTyranny.com and, of course, the Blue America Pack. Thank you. Thank you, Howie.
Thanks, Nicole. See you soon.
Bye-bye. We'll talk later. And with that, we're done for this Thursday.